Welcome to Liverpool Rumours Podcast, in which we'll be discussing the Man United game and other miscellaneous items, featuring myself and Ed 001, and a special guest this week, Abid, who is a... Well, I'll let him introduce himself. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, red men, red ladies. My name's Abid, and I'm a special
Harry
guest.
Harry Stouse's little brother.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Harry. Thank you for a wonderful podcast last week.
Yeah. He's Harry's even more special little brother.
Special me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
There's no point taking the mick out of Harry. He doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah. He's not going to be listening. No, he'll be listening to this thinking, it should have been me. And it was just, yeah. But there we go. So, you know, great podcast with Harry. That's why we're doing the guest again. And, yeah, hopefully it goes well. So let's get into it.
Right, we're to the bottom of the barrel that we got Harry from to find someone even... someone else. Right, just at the right the bottom.
At least you're consistent, eh, Sheila?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's, you know, depressing game. I don't really like talking about depressing game. So, Trissy, jump right in. How are you going to moan about Mignolet this week?
To be yeah, I wasn't going to start with that. I was going to say, actually, I was quite pleased with the performance overall. It was just the goal, you know, not scoring a goal and the conceding of the goal. As I've been saying on the site, I'm really, really not happy with Mignolet's keeping on that one.
A lot of things on that site, you know, people saying he should have been on his feet, he shouldn't have leant back for Rooney's shot. What do you make of it, Abid?
Guys, I really don't think it should be a point we should be discussing. We should have been two or three up before then anyway, but... I think that, first and foremost, we got done with the corner again. We've got to stop eradicating those mistakes. It's getting a joke now. The high ball's coming in. Number two, there was three or four of them with Fellaini, who didn't do anything all game. Lucas had him in his pocket and then only had that header. So that should have been stopped first and foremost. And I feel that... Rooney, I really feel that Emre Can should have had him. He left him all on his own. So it was a comedy of errors, and it shouldn't have been, that goal shouldn't have happened. But unfortunately, it did. I don't really blame Miggs for the goal, because when the header hit the post, he was probably a bit discombobulated and wasn't thinking straight.
Spell it.
IT. Oh, and yeah, but as I say, we really should have been up before then. It was just so disappointing that we lost that game. It's what can you say? They've beaten us four in a row now, and let's just hope next season we do them.
Yeah, our respect to that team as well, because they're awful.
Yeah,
they haven't had they've the worst team for about 50 years. I don't think. Going back to Tommy Docherty, Dave Sexton, Ron Atkinson's, Fergie's, oh, they were awful. They're just awful at the moment, and we lose them. It's just sickening.
Yeah, you know, they were poor, but for the large part they were poor, I thought we played quite well.
Especially with the
strike.
Yeah.
Sturridge with the walk that game.
Yeah, it could have been three or four with Sturridge or any half-decent centre-forward. I mean, you know, I don't... Yeah, he might have been able to unlock them. I just think a lot of negativity just because of the result, when in actual fact we played quite well.
Yeah, we had five first-teamers out. Sturridge, Lovren, Skrtel, Coutinho, even Origi.
Danny Ings, he's my first-teamer.
Exactly, 6-10.
So, yeah, I mean, it's one of the things. Let's go through our attacking chances, because we seem to always be talking about the back line and goalkeepers. So, what about that? Henson needs to practice shooting, eh?
It's definitely the biggest weakness in his game, isn't it?
Mm. I think that nice, intricate play from Firmino, might have been Can or Lucas, or even Milner, where it ended up with Firmino just flicking it round for Henderson, wasn't it? And he just sort of side foots it across and past the far post. When instead he should be putting his laces through that, straight at De Gea, and hoping for, you know, similar circumstances of Rooney's strike.
I don't think De Gea's going to jump out of the way, mate.
No, but, you know, like we talked about earlier, Adam fast at you, you try and get your hands behind it because that's your natural instinct. And if you hit it hard and true enough, you know, 9 times out of 10, keepers can't react that quick. And so I think it's decision-making on shooting is what needs work. You know, instead of side-footing that, there was one as well on the edge of the box. Do you remember a nice play? And he had acres, absolute acres. And he chose to, because he is lacing a few, and it in Rose Ed, he decided to go side foot with that one. It went straight into De Gea's chest. Do you remember?
Mm. Yeah, it was back pass in the end, really.
Yeah, you know. So I think he needs shooting boots and decision making. What other attacking opportunities did you like, Tris?
I was trying to think of a few, because I've got to say, to be fair, yesterday there was quite a few times I thought Milner did well. Created by working close, but my major worry about our
Say that again.
I thought Milner had not a bad game yesterday.
I never thought I'd hear you say that.
Oh, I'll say it if I think he's played well, I'll say it. You know what I mean? Even though I don't rate him, I think he had quite a good game yesterday. The problem I've got is with him and Lallana in the side, both of them, the minute our team, you know, the minute any of our players get the ball, they just run towards it. It's very rare they run away. You know, they make a run to draw defenders away, and that is half our problem, why our chances tend to end up being snatched chances, because we're not playing with any width. Where everyone's just running in towards wherever the ball is. So if it's on the right, everyone starts piling over to the right. I've wondered if this is something to do with the pressing game they want to play, is they're all thinking get close so that if the ball's turned over, they're close enough to press straight away and get it back. Maybe a bit of laziness because they don't want to get too far, but they're all seem to just pile into one area all the time.
And they're getting each other's way as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's really frustrating to watch. Lallana's always been, one of the two things that particularly annoys me about him is that he always seems to run where the ball is instead of making a run away, you know, to draw players away, making space, yeah. But yesterday, everyone was doing it. It's bizarre. And I know we broke through a few times, but we could have got through so many more times. There were so many times where it was crying out for someone to be creating a space on the opposite flank, and nobody was there. Everyone was just, you know, everyone got drawn in, and not one of our players noticed the space and pulled out, you know, and turned, created the option. Bizarre.
And nobody runs into the box.
No, that's annoying, that is, in particular.
Benny, that Hendo chance talking about just now. You know when they had the brilliant little link-up play around in and around the box,
mm-hmm.
and Hendo screwed it wide? Somebody, if anybody had been running into the box, that would have been a tap-in.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Or he, you know, they'd been there to shout at Henderson to try and pass it, because, you know, he did try shooting. But if you're right, if you had a poacher in there, they'd be absolutely screaming at Henderson just to goal it, you know, just pass it across the front of the goal.
And EMS will now be sitting there saying, should be Lee Griffiths, I bet, yeah?
Lee Griffiths. Any the one who found out he had they found his Tinder profile?
Yeah, he's got there's a fair few things with him. A bit of off-field problem, him.
Oh, that reminds me of a player I want to talk about later. So, yeah, when Benteke come on, did it not wind anyone else up that we weren't crossing the ball?
Where was it?
Yeah, now I'm coming to that. Because, A, well, you know, I made my feelings clear on Ibe that he's not good enough. And he's just constantly trying to beat a man again. But you've brought Benteke on, and Ibe's still not crossing. A few people were trying, right? But now, and then Benteke's come out of the box, and it has gone out left to Moreno, possibly Milner. And Benteke's on the edge of the box. And I'm mouthing off, I'm like, look, he's been brought on to get in the box. Why is he not in the box? And he goes over short for feet.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. I'm thinking, why? Why are you not doing it? Why are you not getting in the box? Is it because you don't... Well, I agree with him to an extent. Our players don't cross the ball. I mean, none. And when they do, it's pretty poor crosses, normally. So is he trying to make something himself, or... Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? What do you think's going on there?
Do you think he's giving up, or do you think he's just not...
I just think that's the way he is.
No, I think he's fed up of not getting decent deliveries.
He did this at Villa when they were crossing the ball constantly.
Yeah, but he got plenty of goals at Villa, mate. You know, he may have still been doing that, but he would have been mixing it up and getting goals. And that's why
we bought him. Every ball went to him. Every pass. Yeah, it wasn't like he was part of the team. He was the sole focus of the team.
So Sod's Law, you're going to score goals.
Yeah, but don't you think he might think everyone's against him. He might think, well, I am getting in the box, and here comes Jordan Ibe. Oh, I've made a run to front post, and Jordan Ibe's been tackled because he's tried beating the man again. Do you not think it gets on his nerves?
No, but his job should be, regardless of what anybody else is doing, his job should be to get into a position to get on the end of crosses.
Maybe
what everybody else is doing. Then, when he does that, then he can start screaming at people, put the ball into the box. Otherwise,
he's in the centre circle most of the time.
Yeah,
but maybe...
If you're not in the box to get the cross, how can you complain when nobody's crossing it in?
People like Jordan Ibe do not even think about crossing.
When Jordan Ibe has done, Benteke screamed at him to pull it back to him.
Maybe Benteke feels...
He's nowhere in the six-yard box, on the edge of the box, Benteke is. Remember? Because Ibe cut in from the flank, got in there, played the ball across the six-yard box, and there was nobody there to tap it in. In fact, the only player, you know, Benteke was on the edge of the 18-yard box, screaming at Ibe to pull it back to him. And you're thinking, if you'd just gone in for a tap-in, you'd have scored.
He just makes no effort.
That's what it is.
I'm not saying whether I agree or not. I'm just trying to make a good debate and trying to empathise with Benteke. That's why I'm making these points. Do you not think he feels he's more than a target man to be just in the six-yard box? Do you not think he's got the ability to come pick up the ball on the edge of the box and create?
But he's had that opportunity. He's not doing it.
Yeah, I was going to say he has got the ability, but he doesn't work hard enough to make it worthwhile. If a player's going to do that, that's fine. They can drop off and take the ball, but they've got to be prepared to then bust a gut and get into the box when it does come in there as well. You can't just sit outside the box.
You think he's putting all his eggs into one basket, Abid? Do you know what I mean? He's not mixing his game enough.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, buddy?
Yeah, do you think he's putting his eggs in one basket? It's either all or nothing in the box, or all or nothing outside of the box, and that he's not being clever enough and mixing up his game, mixing up his style.
You make a great point. I think he's an ignorant footballer, to be honest with you, because he knows one way and he can't adapt to another style. Hence, that's why I think he won't be here next season. But that's doing us a disservice now. I think you're right, Benny and Tristan, that he should be getting into position. He should have that instinct to be in the box, rather to... Like, I can't remember the game, a game or two ago, like you were saying, Tristan, he was back in the 18-yard box having a right go at Ibe, and Ibe apologised when it wasn't even his fault. He put it into a great area. He should have been running onto it. It should have been a goal. But yeah, you're right. I don't think he hasn't got the DNA in his game.
he's not clever enough to read a game, is what I don't think.
So. The evidence is clear, unless he's just, I don't know. I don't know what he came with a great reputation. Again, a lot of us didn't agree with this with the purchase. I think it was a Rodgers purchase, but he came with a great reputation. If he could just add pressing and movement to his game, he'd be one of the best in the world.
As I've said before on here, when he was playing for Belgium, the manager, is it Mark Wilmots, isn't it, was yeah. complaining all summer long about his laziness, how he wouldn't press, how he was stood still, he was just a lamppost. In fact, I'm pretty sure I read a quote from Wilmots which actually said he was actually called him a lamppost.
He did, yeah.
For his lack of movement. Yeah, you know, this is the kind of player we're signing. It's just, you just don't sign players like that. Not if you want to win things. It's fine if you're in the relegation battle and you can afford to pander to him, but we're not.
You know, I think
he's not good enough to deserve it.
I think we touched on it in the last podcast, is where he thinks he's done. He thinks he's completed the game in life. Do you know what I mean? Like you play any sort of role playing game and you work and do your best, and then when you get there, you just take your foot off the gas. And you know, he's full international now. He's on a big contract at one of the biggest clubs in the world, and now he's just taking his foot off the gas and he's achieved all he's wanted to achieve, and that's it now for him. And you know, I think that's what he thinks. There's no like desire to. But saying that, it could be said for a lot of players. We're not fighting for anything. Do you know what I mean?
You can't say, well, Lallana chases back and runs around.
But that's in Lallana's DNA. That's what he does.
Yeah.
You know. But when you think about it, we're not playing for anything, really. The league is gone. Top four is basically gone.
Pride.
Yeah,
no, but if we win the Europa League, we get into the Champions League. So that's a massive carrot.
Yeah,
we're not being funny, but every player should be playing for their place.
Yeah, totally, and I totally agree.
Tepe's been dropped because he's not performing. So he's playing for something, but it's not showing in his attitude on the pitch.
Do you want to get real Lallana? He looks like he's playing for a place. He's trying his hardest.
He's ineffective.
Good enough.
Oh, so now you want to get rid of the people that do try their hardest playing for a place?
But if he's ineffective,
want to get him players? Yeah.
Yeah, but
want to get him players that try and have good players.
How do you know he's not going to come good? I mean, look at Flanagan beforehand. Look at Henderson. He was part of a deal for Clint Dempsey.
There's too many players.
Henderson. I was the one that was when he was being trapped by Man United. I was asked about him on their site, and I was saying I really like Henderson. I think he's got something, and he can go on to be something.
It's not just Henderson though, mate. You see my point of what I'm saying. He might just start clicking.
Yeah, but Henderson was a kid.
Okay, Flanagan, so you think Lallana's too old?
He's 28, is he? 28, 27, something like that.
And that's a write-off now, is it?
He's at his peak.
What do you feel that Lallana offers?
He's not going to get any better.
What does Lallana give us?
What does Lallana give it? Ball return. Right, I had this conversation the other day. Yes, he does retain the ball.
Yeah, watch the ball again. He retains it when we need him to move it on. He ran with the ball. He took four touches afterwards, after he should have played, and he ended up playing the same ball I screened at him to do before his first touch.
Well,
just played his touch to Lucas.
It's better than Coutinho hitting Rosette.
Well, no, because Coutinho might have scored in that instance.
One in 25 opportunities.
That's one in 25 more than Lallana scores.
Lallana shoots.
Lallana. Shot. The time Lallana, where he needs a through ball in for a goal, it'll do a Cruyff turn. And just stop the play.
There's plenty more to football than looking for a key pass all the time. Coutinho countlessly gives a ball away trying it.
But I'd rather he tried it than just kept hold of it and didn't go anywhere.
But
if you want a player like Lallana, he should be playing in Louis van Gaal's system of Man United, where they just keep the ball for no reason whatsoever.
No, Lallana should be playing number 10.
I disagree.
Lallana needs to be behind a striker.
I think Lallana
needs to be behind the stands at Summit.
No.
Not good enough.
Well, if you throw away the people that actually are trying, what are you left with?
you bring in people that are trying and offer quality as well.
What, like Benteke?
No, I mean like Henderson.
Well, we brought.
He didn't have a great game yesterday, but he had a great game against Arsenal. But I don't think he was quiet yesterday.
Anyway, you asked me what Lallana offers. Lallana offers cleverness. He's quick in his mind. Yes, he is. He's
ball in and creating opportunities.
He's extremely bright footballer. He works hard. He tracks. He follows runners. He's got great discipline. He turns on a sixpence. And if he was actually behind a decent striker, he could play these key passes you're talking about. If he
passes, even when he was at Southampton, he never played any.
He's good in the air.
He just pirouettes throughout the game. I don't see any.
Lovely feet and lovely touch. But he doesn't do anything with it. That's it. He's a show pony. Yeah.
No,
he's a show pony.
I just don't get how.
He's not an intelligent footballer. An intelligent footballer knows when to play the pass.
Right, so is Coutinho an intelligent footballer?
Coutinho is a magician, mate.
A magician. That's right. No. He's not. He gets tackled.
Has never been good for us. He's never once done anything out of the ordinary that's created something out of nothing.
Coutinho does one of three things. He shoots.
Only created was when he missed controlled it. He was trying to take it and take about 40. He would have taken another 40 touches if he'd have controlled it. Instead, it just went through, broke through to Benteke to score. It was an accident.
Do we agree he should have scored yesterday with the header?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Get away, man. When a ball is going away from you, you cannot get power from a header when the ball is travelling away from you.
There was if you look at that sequence again, there was enough momentum on that ball. He didn't even have to head it so hard. There was enough speed and momentum on that ball to go in.
But that's what I mean. You can't your head cannot catch up with a ball moving away from you. You're never going to get anything on it.
I hear what you're saying, buddy, but I think that should have been a goal rather than a De Gea save.
No.
He could have put it a bit higher up.
He could have changed the trajectory. Totally agree. Yeah. And someone said that in the pub. Totally agree on that. But even so, you're never getting enough power for them two defenders running back. They would have got there comfortably, even if he got it over De Gea.
I think there was enough movement on that ball for it to be a goal. If
enough movement away from him. Going ahead of him, that's why you can't out that on. You can't put power on a header moving away from it. That's why you have outswinging corners. So when a defender meets the header, attacking defender, attacker, whatever, meets a header, there's power there, you know, to counter. Every action has a reaction. Yeah, so when it's going away from you, he's never getting enough power on that header. I mean, the closest thing you can compare it to is Robin van Persie at the World Cup. And even there, that's more of a diag ball. So he's got summit to get his sort of neck behind, you know.
So you're saying that's the best he could have done with that effort?
He could have gone higher. Yeah. You know, it was there to head. Yeah. It was there to head comfortably. But as it's going away from you, you're not getting any power. Even if he got it over to Gea, the two, you know, Smalling or whoever running back would have cleared it comfortably. We should have scored anyway, because Firmino should have done better and been calmer instead of shooting.
Firmino was taking that shot. Did you see Milner? He was just ambling. He was walking. He should have been. They should have been runners in the box.
That's where you've got to be a bit more cleverer. Take your time.
Yeah.
You know, and knock it about. They're all scrambling at sixes and sevens. Keeper's out of his goal, faffing about. They should have been a bit cleverer than just pulling the trigger straight away on the air. But that's hindsight, But no, as for Lallana's header, I can't have that. He should have scored that. Sorry.
Sacco should have scored his, to be fair. Because he had a decent game apart from that.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you anyway, because, you know, if you watch it, Sacco meets the ball at Sacco's highest possible point of his jump. So, you know, he's done it perfectly, timed it, but it's just too high for him.
I think he went too early.
He was going down, He got his timing wrong. That was the problem. Watch it again.
He may have got the timing of the jump wrong, but he actually meets it when he's at his highest point, if Do you know what I mean?
He jumped in a split second.
Yeah, if he had held a split second and then the ball was sort of coming down, weren't it? You know, he would have met it better and scored. But, you know, once again, it's all hindsight.
You only have to look at his reaction. He knew he made a mess of that. Mm. You could see it in his face, the way he held his head in his hands. He knew he messed that up. Yeah. But, you know, I'm not going to get on his back because he shouldn't be the one having to rescue. Yeah, and he shouldn't be the one rescuing us anyway by scoring.
Once again, it's one of them things, isn't it? It's one of them things, again, of fine margins, you know. Just like Fellaini's goal, a couple inches higher, goal kick. That cross, a couple inches lower, Sacco heads a finish, you know. Game of fine margins. And at nil-nils, I'm sorry, at half-time, I said to me, man, you, mate, I said, look, it's got 1-0 United written all over it.
Which shows how bad they played. Half time, they were fighting in the dressing room, the Man United players. They were having a big ruck in the dressing room, weren't they, at half time?
Sacco squealed, didn't he? Yeah.
No, Schneidlin said this.
Who said that?
Schneidlin pointed out.
Well. Oh, right, because I heard Red Sacco was saying that they could hear him arguing.
Yeah, Sacco had said about it, and Schneidlin said about it as well, like.
You know, they were frustrated by us. We played well as much as they played poorly. And that's what I don't get on negative posts on the site lately.
Yeah.
But,
I don't understand why people are negative about it.
It's football.
I can understand why people are frustrated, but that's all. It's it.
It's football, isn't it?
We can't be denigrating that team because there's 5-6 players out and have been for most of the season. It's like making chicken curry out of cardboard. It's just, you can't. And the man deserves an accolade, a medal for
you've
what
not,
he's doing.
You've not been to my local curry house.
I was just thinking that. You want to try eating my cooking?
You certainly can make it out of cardboard and cats. But, yeah. No, I mean, you're right. It's polishing a turd, you know, especially with the players out. And as Ed O'Toole keeps saying, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. You know, your smooths are smashing Man City and Chelsea and Southampton. Your roughs are losing to a single shot on target.
Let's face it, if you didn't have the result, you know, if the result had been, forget the result, you know, took that out of the equation, you didn't know what the score was at the finish, and you just watched that game, you'd have enjoyed that. It was a good game for us. Mm. We played well in that.
Yeah, we was on the ball quite a lot, you know. It was an enjoyable game to watch, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
I thought, man, you were going to come there and dominate the ball, but no, we did. And, you know, it was pleasant. And like I say, we're just missing a striker.
Any striker.
And when we slag off every single player, but then we can sit and say we just need a striker, that's where I think the credit comes to Klopp. Because he's got these bang average players, and he's making a team out of them. They're making a team that's now sort of working together, and yeah, they're not the best technical players in the world, and they're not the fittest, and they're not the brightest, but they're making chances. And it's just a shame that the centre forward isn't in that mould with the rest coming along. Do you know what I mean? It's like the whole world's against Benteke, including his team, you know? But and he's only got himself to blame, I should say.
I'm just watching it again, the goal again. Mignolet's got ages after the goals, after the ball hits the bar and goes back out. He gets back up again, he steadies himself, he sets himself, and then throws himself to the floor and lets the ball in. I'm sorry, but no matter how many times I see it...
I've explained this to you.
No, he throws himself down. There's no... He's throwing his arms up. He stands. If you stand big and pull your arms up, which is what you do, you put your hands in front of your face to protect your face. Yeah, I fully agree with that. But you don't throw your head down underneath it to make sure it doesn't hit you in the face.
I'm going to have to watch it again
because I've watched it about 4 or 5 times while we've been doing this podcast because they're showing it now. And every time, it is rank amateur defending.
Okay, so short corner. Let's do this like we're bloody Jamie Carragher
I'm watching
Gary
it's
Neville.
On that.
Right.
Just watching it.
So, man comes for short corner, yeah? Where's our nearest bloke inside the box? I think that's Jordan Ibe.
Lucas and Rooney are chatting.
Hold on. I've got to put a circle around the players so everyone can see.
Henderson's tracking Fellaini.
Right, so Ibe comes out, charging out of the box to Mata, who's just received the shot. Mata takes a touch. Why is Ibe stop? Okay, let's do this piece by piece. So Mata takes a touch. Ibe runs out and squares him up, but he's still 10 yards away. You're not going to stop anything there, but you might as well carry on and get closer. The closer you are, the smaller, you know, it's like goalkeeping. When you're taught as a kid, you come out, close them down, the space behind them gets limited, yeah?
So
Ibe should carry on closing him down instead of squaring him up 10 yards away. Anyway, cross comes over his head comfortably.
Why are our centre-backs not man-marking? Why are our midfielders man-marking?
Right, what I can...
Did Fellaini jump, or did he just have a standing start?
Fellaini jumps between four. I can make out Sacco...
No, he runs past Henderson. He runs straight past Henderson.
Oh, that's sorry. That's right. Henderson's on the edge of the box, yeah.
Chan's on the edge of the box as well, next to him, marking two for some reason. Moreno's just watching. Henderson gets left behind. Fellaini steps back. Our two centre-backs are all at the same, you know, and are both on the edge of the six-yard box. They're right standing on there, and they both go to it, as does Lucas gets attracted to it, but he's only a couple of yards away. And Henderson tries to get there, but is a bit caught behind.
I blame Rafa.
Well, it's just Frank. We should have had someone on the post for starters.
No, it wouldn't have stopped the goal.
Who'd have had time to close down Rooney. They'd have had time to close down Rooney and could have caused him to slice it. Secondly, why are our centre-backs not man-marking? Why are they the ones stood on the six-yard box? Stood on the six-yard box waiting to head it away. It makes no sense.
Right.
They should be the ones man-marking. They're the defenders.
Trissy.
We've got midfielders marking. It's ridiculous.
What happens is, Henderson's marking Fellaini. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Fellaini comes into a group of Liverpool players. They must be zonal marking. Whatever.
Like I said, there's two on the edge of the six-yard box. It's Touré. It's Sacco at the near post.
Touré at the far. With Lucas, the opposite side.
Right next to where the ball's coming to.
Between Rooney and Fellaini, Lucas, yeah? Right, so Henderson... This is my question. Henderson is marking Fellaini. Why does then he leave it to Sacco and Touré? If you're not confident to go and clear out Fellaini for a header, then make Sacco and Touré mark them first-hand instead of... Oh, Mark Fellaini. Ooh, ball's coming in. Go on then, Sacco. Why? Why not let Sacco pick him up in the first place?
He just gets left behind because he's not watching. He gets left. Fellaini gets the run on him. And then he's having to react to the run and chase him, which is what I was saying about a man-marking system anyway. It's always a problem.
Henderson runs too far because he's not watching.
He's behind him. Yeah, he's behind him.
Henderson's now goal side. Yeah, okay. And then
I didn't think they anticipated the short corner.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying.
Got two men stood on the six-yard box when they, the best headers of the ball are just stood on the six-yard line. Why? You know, surely they should be the ones man marking. Why would you not have a defender, one of the centre backs, on Fellaini? I don't get it.
Long and short of it, I'm looking at see a Mignolet mistake, and no. I mean, that ball is struck venomously.
The ball struck straight at him. Yeah, but the ball struck straight at him and he dives out of the way.
He's not diving out of the way. He's trying to get his hand there.
But he could have got his hands to it just by standing up and pulling his hands up to his face. He was bottling it. He dives back out of the way.
He's not bottling it.
He is. He's getting out of the way.
At the end of the day, that ball could be going anywhere. You got to remember that could be going bottom right, so he might be gambling. Yeah, like some good goalkeepers do. A, he's dropped his knees, and what I've froze it now. He's dropped
his
knees.
So much time to settle on that.
He's not had that much time neither.
He's had time to set himself. A good keeper should be set by the time he's had that.
This ball absolutely comes at him like a rocket. He has set himself. And he's
be a good shot stopper. So all we get told is he's a good shot stopper. Well, he's had a shot to stop, and he's got out of the way of it when it was at him. I'm sorry, but that is not good goalkeeping. It was going
a little fast.
I understand that, but if he hadn't fallen backwards, it would have hit him.
But you fall backwards. That's what happens.
You don't.
You throw your arms up. He's not trying to get out of the way, is he? He hasn't got time to bottle it.
Well, he has got time because he did.
He's not bottling that. He's tried his best to get his hands there.
If he tried his best to get his hands there, they would have been there. It's only because he dives backwards that his hands aren't able to get there. It's going to hit him if he just stands big.
His knees were already dropping before the shot's taken. What's happening is preparing to dive. This is what happens as a goalkeeper. You have to gamble. We can't look after the shot. We can't. Well,
that's what a reaction save is.
So what you're saying
is when you save it after the shot's taken, and then you're saying he's so bad he's misread it and dived at and dived.
Not at all. All goalkeepers bend their knees when a shot comes in, so they can react.
Saying he set himself, but then he set himself and threw himself out of the way, so he's reacted, but reacted badly.
Do you not know?
Supposed to be a good.
But dropping your knees. Forward motion takes you back. What does taking your upper, you know, your arms and your shoulders back, what's that do? Give you a bit more time to get there.
Just dropping your knees, move you backwards.
Let me put it this way. Ever seen a bloke die forwards, saving a shot? Go on.
Is this a good time to bring in our special guest, Seymour Mignolet, eh?
I am the first to give him a hard time.
No, you're not.
But I am a goalkeeper. I'm a very good goalkeeper, and you can't do anything about that. It's a sillily hard shot. You don't know where it's going. He's got the whole goal to aim at because no defender is anywhere near. You brace yourself. You fall back when you dive. You know?
He hits them. That was the thing Schmeichel was so good at, is everyone used to say it used to hit him.
Yeah.
It was because he was big and brave.
When he's coming out,
it was the same.
When
he would just hit them, they just seemed like the ball was always aimed at them.
Yeah, but that
it wasn't because they were always aimed at them, it's because they weren't throwing themselves out of the way.
Chrissy, that is totally two different scenarios. One, this one is preparing to stop a shot. The Schmeichel starfish is where you're coming before they're even about.
His standard goalkeeping practice is he would stay big. He wouldn't throw himself down when a shot's about to come.
Well, then he would never save any shot along the floor.
He would. Well, that's what he had feet for. Watch him. He always used to stick out a toe and he'd hit them.
Well.
That's why.
You shouldn't be given that much room in the box.
Mignolet is not to blame at all for this goal.
Mignolet shouldn't have got out the way of it.
Mignolet is not to blame.
It's bad goalkeeping.
No, it's not. We're going to fall out in a minute.
He is partly to blame. I'm sorry, but I've just watched it again. They've shown it 30 times while we were talking, and every time the whole defending was rank amateur from start to finish of that corner.
Mignolet's not to blame.
Just one of them. The Heats was just one of it.
Mignolet's not to blame at all. Not having it.
Guys, he can't be that bad. They've just handed him a 5-year contract, did they?
Yeah, exactly. That's 5 years. We won't be winning anything if he's playing.
More than likely, but I can't blame him for that goal. Hey, up! We had a little miscommunication there. Everyone's still there?
Yeah. So you reckon it's time for Ward, guys, or would you still play Miggs?
I'm happy to Ward play. Like I said, I don't like Mignolet at all, but I'm not blaming him for that goal. So, when's Ward starting?
Me too, I second that.
He can't start in the next game, can he, Sam?
Is that our next fixture?
Yeah, then we've got Norwich and then we've got Stoke.
When are we playing next to Tuesday?
Norwich, Wednesday. Norwich have been awful Wednesday. To play them, wouldn't they? I mean, Norwich have been absolutely woeful this season.
Yeah, there's no real... Let's go on to Norwich then, instead of bickering like children. You need to really grow up, Ed. We will go into...
Or you need to... You're wrong, which you are.
You're wrong, but... let it go. Just let it go, mate. You've got to be the bigger man and admit you're wrong, you know. But anyway, on to next opponents. Let's have a good debate. Norwich. Norwich haven't really got a star man. I remember when they was in the Prem last time, or maybe they've never gone down and come up. I've not really tracked Norwich at all. But do you remember Nathan Redmond? Is he still playing for them?
He wasn't with them last time. They bought him recently.
Who?
They bought him. Yeah, they bought him in.
I thought they've had him a long old time.
No, they bought him in to save them in the January window.
Last window?
No, not this window. The last time round when they were in. He wasn't like he'd been there at the time. He was just joined to keep them up.
I don't know. What about Leroy Fur? He's still there?
No, he went to QPR, didn't he? Was it QPR?
Yeah, he did. Okay, and this is what I mean. Norwich don't really have any star men.
Dear Mercy Mbakani, and they've just signed Naismith from Everton.
Have they really? That's a good... I like Naismith.
How much are they getting for?
8.5 million.
Oh, that's a bit steep, but I do like him.
The wages. That's a lot of money.
You have to pay it. Yeah, but you have to pay it if you want to play, you know, you want to stay up, don't you?
He's a good player, Naismith.
I think Everton made a mistake letting him go.
Yeah, he seems to be, when he plays for Everton, he seems to be the highlight reel, you know?
Didn't he come off the bench and score a hat-trick against Chelsea or something?
Chelsea, yeah. We were just talking about that in the Chelsea game at the weekend. All the Chelsea fans were delighted he wasn't playing for them.
That's what I mean. He's a good player. So, I guess he's registered for the weekend. That could be one to hurt us.
I would get a hat-trick against us, no?
Yeah, that's the way it goes. I don't know.
Yeah, Naim Bakani's quite a good player, but he's just settling in because they only bought him in the summer. Other than that, I mean, that's just it's the way they play isn't good either. It's very much old-fashioned. Lots of running, but not, you know. And
so 3-0 to them then?
Yeah. That's how it happens.
He's a bit Tony Pulis like Alex Neil and his style of football for my liking. You know, up and at him. Sam Allardyce rather than Tony Pulis.
We should have sort of
in between, you know, where they kick anything that move.
Well, let's talk about our man that's there. Wisdom doesn't seem to be playing too much.
Well, he won't play him this weekend, will he?
No, of course
not. He got in and he'd won his place, but they've bought a right back in this window.
Yeah.
No, they've gone and bought a right back. Who is it? Ivo Pinto. They've just gone and bought him. But he was playing and he was holding down his place when they went on a good run. But now they've brought in a right back, so I can see him getting a game again.
And, you know, that brings us back to having to sort out our loan policies because they are quite shocking.
Well, it's bizarre. Why did we... We've just spent money to bring back Alori from a loan because we haven't looked at him to see whether... You know, we haven't looked... And that's why we had to bring all these players back. It's not because... it's because the only way we've got to look at them is to bring them back. I mean, why is nobody going out and having a look at them?
Well, you can't when they're not playing.
Well, yeah, but a lot of them were. Like, Shay Ojo.
He wasn't playing.
He was playing regularly. But we brought him back to a look at.
No,
he was playing regularly.
A lot of the...
Bench or
yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, but
he
some...
was playing every game, though. He very rarely missed a game.
Some weeks he weren't even in the squad, but my mate was he's a Wolves season ticket holder. He's the one I could keep tabs on. And they were frustrated with him.
Yeah, they were frustrated with him, but...
Well, they say he's too hit and miss, you know.
He's just a kid.
Yeah.
But when he was coming on as a substitute, he was changing the game and they were still moaning.
Yeah.
Wolves, for you, they're not happy because they think they're a big club than they are. They seem to have forgotten they've only just come up from League One. They think they should be winning the. They think they should be winning the championship, honestly, and they're moaning because they're not. Bizarre, but
does Steve Morgan still own them?
Yeah, and they're on his case because he's not spending loads of money, and they think he's pocketing all the transfer money, and they're making up all kinds of crap about this. You know, the takeover, how he wants a cut of future transfer fees and stuff. It's just lies, outright lies.
He wanted to buy us, didn't he, once upon a time?
Yeah, he tried to. Got turned down. He didn't have the money, to be honest. He was never going to buy. He's always a shareholder for years.
That's interesting.
So the takeover by Gillette and Hicks. He was a shareholder. So there were a lot of people in mind in those days.
Let's get back to Norwich then. Let's go. I want to hear a starting lineup from you, and I want to hear Abid from you. I want to hear what Klopp's starting lineup will be, and from Trissy, I want to hear what your lineup should be. So Abid, fire away with what lineup you actually think will start
against Norwich.
Yep.
He won't throw caution to the wind in goal. I think Miggs will be in goal, but I want it to be Ward. I think it will be same as you are back for maybe Lovren coming in for Toure, because I don't think Toure can play three games in a week now. Maybe Kolker, maybe an interesting selection. Across the middle, I think I would love to see Ojo play instead of Evie, to be fair. Because the only way you're going to see these guys, if they can do it, is actually play them. But I think he'll be quite conservative against in the middle and up front. But we just haven't got the players, you see. We can't experiment that much. You know, we haven't got we've got 5-6 first teamers out. So I think it'll be as you were. I think it'll be Firmino, Milner, Henderson, maybe Allen are coming for Can. I wouldn't mind seeing that, actually, because I think Can is getting a little bit leggy. Mm-hmm. He seems to have great first halves or brilliant 20, 30 minutes, and then he's quite ponderous and loses possession, etc. So I think he needs a rest, although I think he's going to come he's only 22, we've got to bear that in mind. I think he's going to come good sooner rather than later, but he does need a rest at the moment.
Starting up front?
You think Lucas will start?
I think Norwich.
Yeah, I agree with that. I love
Lucas's game.
He'll go more attacking. He'll want some more pace in the midfield, more legs.
He does like to attack away from home.
And I think
he does
to
go with the pacey players to break on them.
I don't think Norwich will do much breaking, because I think there'll be another, just like United, camped in their own half. So maybe a bit of cleverness. These are the games. I think top four's pretty much gone. I'm sort of like back in Spurs now, in the hopefulness that they stop Man United getting it, because Man United don't deserve jack from the way they play. But that said, I think that puts us down the pecking order. I think we're something like 9 points behind Spurs, 8, 9, you know, and that's fourth place. That means gone. So games like Norwich, games like Bournemouth, Watford's, your West Broms, etc. I know they drew and beat us, but these are games I want to see players like Ojo, Teixeira, Ilori and Ward getting games. You know, it's not exactly... it's not exactly just giving up, but do you know what I mean? We all knew this year's going to be a write-off. Did we not?
Transition, I do say.
Yeah.
Top six, which is all we had to aim for, in my opinion. From the moment, you know, we started with Brendan Rodgers in charge, we were always fighting a losing battle.
Yeah.
God knows where we'd be with him in charge now. Fighting relegation, probably.
Yeah, it was dire, you know, and so I'm happy to take the rough with the smooth. And if we can get a look at some players, you know, because I would actually rather the players do these games, your Norwiches, instead of the FA Cup games. Because the the FA Cup games, it piles a ton load of pressure on them. They think, oh, if we don't win, that's us done playing football this year. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's
they
actually
express themselves.
That's it. And it's actually a cup to win, you know. Whereas a slip up in over the course of a season due to an inexperienced young lad, I got no qualms with that, you know, because at the end of the day, the table never lies. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I'd rather have proper full team players, first team players, play these FA Cup games, get the jobs done, stop the silly replays, so you got less games, and then chuck in the youngsters, one or two. That was my only bad point about Exeter. You can't judge these youngsters. He said it himself. They had a 45-minute training session together. Right, so why not play some of the older boys that train together week in, week out, and just get a look at a couple. And then, you know, hindsight, the replay, try a few different ones with some senior players.
Do you not think he just took a look at the pitch and thought, I'm not risking getting anybody injured here? That's what I thought. I thought he just looked at it and went, we're just going to get players injured here, and I can't risk them. That's how I saw it.
I'd be disappointed if he went with that mentality.
No, I mean, they should have been good. You know, the players we had on that kind of pitch, it wouldn't matter who we put up, they're going to struggle.
Yeah, but
the pitch was one that you can't really judge players on anyway. So
but these players need someone to look towards. Teixeira can't look towards Stewart.
Benteke, we had, what's his face in goal, Bogdan, and...
Enrique. Exactly. Okay. They're not really role models, but, are they?
Yeah, but then Benteke's getting bullied by League Two defenders, it's hardly a role model, right?
That's what I'm saying. They're not role models.
That's what he's got to discover by trying it. He can't, you know, it's not like he's had these players for 6 years and he's learned all about them and he's still doing this, making the same mistakes. He gave them a chance to prove themselves. Enrique's not played for him before, so give him a chance to prove himself. We couldn't afford to put any centre-backs in there. We had no one. We had no one else. It was Alori and Enrique. It was about all we could choose, or maybe Stewart dropping in there. So he didn't have a choice with the defenders. I think he had to be cautious with them.
So what would you do for Enrique? Let's not waste our breath. What would you do for the next game? I wouldn't just play that team again. I get the
sentimentality.
Is that right? It doesn't sound right.
Sentiment.
I put in another. Sentiment. Yeah, you put in a defender or two that you can afford now. It's a better pitch. You're not going to, you know, you're not likely to suffer injuries. You saw the way Alori was dead by the 50th minute because how tough that pitch was.
Trudging about,
I mean, it was killing the players because it was such a hard pitch. We couldn't have afforded injuries to strikers or defenders at that point.
I'd just not to take a chance. Play Alori, play Teixeira, play Ojo. Give Stewart another game. I want to see him again. But then fill him with first teamers around them.
This is against Exeter and not Norwich, right?
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, we've done. We do this. We're under off topic.
Would guys, Teixeira, discuss? He's a very interesting player.
I've said it on a post. I fear he's going down the Pacheco and the Suso route.
I feel he's got more talent.
Yeah, that's what I said in my next line in the post. It's a shame because I think he's got more talent.
Pacheco wasn't that special.
Pacheco was good.
He didn't advance to football. From the moment we got him, he never advanced. He wasn't a skillful player. He was a goal scorer.
He never became a man with us, I feel.
He never filled out. He never improved. He never went on. But that's damn partially down to bad coaching, to be fair to him.
Suso,
we never saw any.
Was fantastic, Suso.
I loved. He seemed when he.
You loved him. I know you loved. I remember going years back with you.
He was throwing himself into tackles and everything. I just, then sending him out on pointless loans, and he just gave.
do you think Tixiera is going to take Lallana or Coutinho's place in the team? Because that's what it's about. That's what he's based.
It's funny because everyone says, oh, we've got two main number 10s. Yet everyone moans about my boy Lallana. Yet you want to play Tixiera and Coutinho, two of the exact type of players. Both players will come show for feet. Neither will run behind the back four. And you'll have the exact same problem.
No, but the point is that he's going to displace one of those two to get into the squad.
Not necessarily. I mean, what's wrong with the right wing?
You'd play Tex on the right of midfield.
Well, no, I'd play Coutinho far left, Lallana at number 10, and Teixeira right wing, and see if I want Lallana central because that's his position. End of. He's not played there all season.
He's not played there in his career. He played on the left for Southampton. Why would you want to play him in the centre?
Because he's got and does nothing with it. Like you constantly say.
United, Swansea or something.
I'd prefer him on the bench if anything.
I'd want him.
He works hard.
Coutinho
to protect the league. But he just doesn't offer anything when you're trying to win a game, which is why we're struggling.
Trissy, in effect, no one offers anything. That's why we're not scoring. Firmino looks the only deadly attacker out of about seven players.
He needs good players around him because he's phenomenal, but he's not world-class like Suarez or Ronaldo or Messi who can do it himself. Drag this team up. He needs players around him to be special.
The fact is, none of these players, and as much as it'll hurt all those people with red tint glasses, and this includes Coutinho, they're not good enough to win the Premier League.
No way.
See, it hurts, doesn't it?
I said, top six. That's what we've got, as a top six side.
Yeah.
And
you've got to include Coutinho. Coutinho has been our worst attacking player this season. He really has. He's been... Be even more modest. He's been awful this year. Compared to what he's been... His level, where he set it, his standard of what he can do, he's been absolute dreadful compared to that.
I'd have him over Lallana any day.
To do what? To not score as well, you know?
You've got to remember, he got injured very early in the Klopp reign. He's not really had time to settle in. So you're judging him on what he did under Brendan Rodgers, where everyone was just stood around doing nothing. I'd like to see. He was just starting to get into the. You know what I mean? He was just starting to look like he was starting to understand what Klopp wanted him to do.
Not really, Trish. Come on. It's not been that long ago he's been playing games. It ain't been that long ago. Well, I've been sarcastically. Oh, shot. Oh, tackled. Do you remember, and that's since the group chat's been going, the live chat's been going, so he has been playing. I just think he's...
It's still too early to judge him under Klopp. I'm sorry, but you can't. I just don't think he's... He doesn't have the movement around him to offer him anything other than a shot.
Like Lallana.
He does too.
Lallana doesn't have the movement around him.
Lallana just runs to him.
Yeah, but how can you say... But this is what is winding me up about all the posters. They say that when it comes to Coutinho, we ain't got enough movement around him. But when it comes to Lallana, Lallana doesn't move the ball quick enough lack of movement around him.
There's a difference. Coutinho's got his head up. He's looking for the pass. He's always looking for the pass. Lallana's got his head down and he's doing little tiny little circles on the pitch.
Coutinho just gets... Coutinho either tackles or shoots.
He's been instructed to shoot, Benny, because under Klopp, we've had the most shots in the Premier League. We're the team with the most shots. So, that means...
Are we the team with the most goals?
Well, no.
Well, then I'll change that tactic.
But then, obviously, we haven't got any forwards, so that's probably why they've been instructed to shoot. Because that's
what else are they meant to do?
Well, if we want that, let's... If we want that statistic, then let's get Balotelli back.
Well, no, because he doesn't even shoot half the time.
Oh, he does shoot, but he had the most shots to lack of goals on shots on target or something when he was playing last season. You know, so if we just want to shoot because we're not scoring, then, yeah, let's get Balotelli.
What we want is players to make runs into the box, which is the only player we've got doing it is Henderson, and that's where our problem lies.
I did like Henderson high against Man United.
You didn't, or you did?
No, I did. I said to him, I quite like Henderson as centre-forward. He hassled the centre-backs. I mean, there was that one where there was that long ball over the top and he got there first, you know, because he's not slow and he does muscle them. I quite like that free reign. And Klopp spoke about that in the pre-match interview about playing Lucas, giving Cannon Henson more of a free role. And I did like Henson getting forward. But, there's no one there with him when he did get forward.
Do you guys want to go past?
Sorry, go on, Tris.
No, go on a bit, because he said something.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. No, I was just saying, do you think he's a Liverpool captain, or would you give that to somebody else and let him play his own game, which he's a fantastic player. But I don't think I'd have him as a captain, because I think, and might be controversial, that game yesterday, they were lambs to slaughter, and if we had a captain in the mould of, say, Roy Keane, Graham Souness, Tony Adams,
I'll tell you what, it's absolutely funny you bring that up, because I was just saying to Trissy earlier, we need someone mean that would do anything to win.
I get you, buddy, yeah.
I feel we're too soft-footed.
I think a Carragher even would have seen us through that game,
yep,
as a communicator.
Definitely. Such a leader, a natural-born winner, someone with a bit of arrogance, maybe a hint of nastiness. Yeah, I feel we need that. Because we're talking about, with no influence, what do you think of Arnautovic at Stoke?
Great hairstyle. I've probably seen him about, over the last 2 years, I've seen him about 12, 15 times. I wouldn't want him in my team, but I think he's okay. I don't think he's all that, to be honest with you.
Do
you guys rate him?
Oh, I thought he's quite a good footballer. He's strong, keeps the ball direct, wins his aerial battles.
Attitude.
Yeah, and then Trissy says
attitude.
About his attitude, but I say I don't mind playing a bit of attitude.
I don't mind a player being nasty, on the pitch and getting stuck in and that. I don't mind that about him, but his problem is his attitude is he'll be leaving there as soon as he can find a new deal.
Hopefully to us, because I like him.
No, he'll just go to where the money is, because that's what he's looking for.
Yeah, that's Liverpool, isn't it? Morales, great player.
I can't believe he's playing, but then again, you're not going to dislodge Defalo. He's awesome, that fella. Absolutely.
Yeah, Morales played at the weekend. I'm not a big fan of him, because he's one of those players that if he wasn't a winger, so people think he's all right, he's just a red card waiting to happen. He's always on the verge of losing his temper.
I love him.
Not for the right reasons. I don't mind if it's about will to win. But for him, it's just about he's in a strop over nothing and he's kicking people for the sake of it. And that's what I don't like.
But I love his footballing ability.
He kicked people to intimidate them. It's like the Stoke thing where they're kicking people. Under Tony Pulis, any Tony Pulis side, basically, they kick people, but they don't just kick them for the sake of it. They're kicking them to frighten them out of the game. Morales doesn't do that. He's got no intention. He doesn't care about the result. He just cares about getting, about kicking people. Or he just has this, where it's like a light bulb goes on and he just loses his temper for no reason. A bit like Balotelli, he's got that tendency to just lose his rag over nothing.
He's got great skill, rather than it super being, little player, right?
Rather than it being a will to win. Oh, it's great skill, but...
I love him as a player.
Going back to the point, I think that Gerrard would have got us through that game yesterday. We'd have won with Gerrard in the middle.
Yeah, I'm not convinced. Not the Gerrard of now, but I get what you're saying. Or even a 28, 30-year-old. And you're totally right. We lack a leader. We lack a bit of nasty. We lack a bit of a bully. And I think we need a bully.
Yeah, Henderson's too much like a sixth-form prefect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he puffs his chest out and he gives it the big un. But he's not, is it?
Nobody's buying it, right?
That's it. That's it. That is it. You know, great, great lad. Really, really nice lad from what we see of him.
A good footballer.
For
me, I just don't think an attacking player should be having the armband anyway. I just don't think it suits.
You're right. It should be Mignolet.
It should be a defensive player. It should always be a defensive player. No, I said a defensive player, not a whatever he is. I'm not sure what he is, because he's certainly not a footballer.
Trissy, I totally agree. It should be Mignolet. Like you were saying to me earlier off air. And, you know, I can't disagree.
It'd be someone like, if Toure's playing, give him the armband. Saka, give him the armband. Any, you know, it should be either a centre-back or a central midfielder who sits. Shouldn't be somebody who's charging forward at every opportunity, because they're not having time to look around and tell people what to do. They're too busy getting forward. That was always my problem with Gerrard as a captain, is that he's not talking to the rest because he's too busy playing.
Guys, we've got to stop it. We're over the hour mark. We have come so far off topic as well.
What's the topic?
I don't know. We've literally just followed the wind on this one. But they're the best ones. They're the ones that flow by and seem to last forever. But unfortunately, we're going to have to call it there. Does anyone want to make a last point?
I might do, Bernie. Now, is there any silver linings from that game yesterday?
Silver linings. Me or Trissy, you want to answer?
Both of you, buddy. Both of you.
Silver lining for me, it's back four look really good again. Again, I say that. They looked awful against Arsenal, but, you know, Arsenal are quite deadly. They look... But then Colo's not... shouldn't be in it, because it... Okay. I'll narrow it down. Sacco looked really good yesterday. Yeah.
Totally agree.
And Henderson getting forward looked better than Henderson shackled. There's my two silver linings. What about you, Tris?
One thing. I'd say Lucas's performance for me, showing that he can good rest, and he comes in and he plays really well.
Yeah. Any final question from you?
As
then?
As Harry will tell you, he's our best player, the best passer of the ball now.
No, Kovacic is our best passer. What?
My silver lines would be Jurgen Klopp is our manager and Louis van Gaal isn't. Because I don't know who looks more gormless, Louis van Gaal or Christian Benteke. Still trying
to
work.
We could have ended up with Gary Neville.
Unbelievable.
See, he hasn't won a league match yet.
Is he not? Oh, but he's going to be the best football manager ever, because he was a bang average right back and chat shite on TV.
Well, yeah, but you've got to remember, he had great producers feeding him lines on the telly, so he's got to be a great manager in the making.
Oh, yeah, that's how it works. Can't wait. Yeah. Can't wait. He's going to take over Man United, one of the biggest football clubs in the world. It's going to be great. yeah. Any final questions from you, Tris?
Not an item to think of.
Okay.
No questions, anyway.
I guess then our last... I guess our next, sorry, will be after Exeter game, or are we going to do watch the Exeter one and watch the Norwich one, then do it? Because, you know, then we'll have plenty to talk about and we won't go so far off topic.
Depends on if we've got any... who we've got as a special guest, I suppose, doesn't it?
We really start talking about Kevin Morales.
I know, that's how far it went. I'm so sorry. We talked about Naismith and Leroy Fer and
it's an Everton podcast.
It's my fault, I lost control.
We could have been talking about Andre Ayew and how Brendan Rodgers turned him down and he's a Liverpool fan and was desperate to play for us, or Dele Alli. How yes. Brendan Rodgers is blaming the club for not signing him, even though he was the one in charge of making the decision.
And he had him in a room for 2 hours in a hotel.
He had final say on all the transfer decisions, but obviously it was the committee that chose not to make the deal.
Is that what he said on Goals on Sunday?
Yeah. It was all the club's fault. He wanted to sign him. You were in charge of the transfer committee. You made the decision.
Mate, I didn't even give that man my time, so I didn't watch any of it.
And then he said, "Alex, we thought Alexis Sanchez was coming, but he got away. And he would have been brilliant because to replace Suarez, because he could have pressed from the front." And then he goes and buys Christian Benteke. He's just...
Is that what he's...
I mean, yeah. We knew Alexis Sanchez wasn't coming because he said from the start he wanted to play in London.
Yeah.
And he wasn't interested in coming. We knew that. And I said that from the start. We were desperate to sign him, but he wouldn't come.
Edo 2, yeah. Edo 2 said it well, all along.
As well, and I said it as well. We both, you know, it was well known. The club knew that there was a problem. So I don't know why Brendan Rodgers is claiming this. It's embarrassing.
Anyway, before we go miles off topic again, let's wrap it up there. We will do another podcast. Any final words?
I was just noticing they did a piece on FC Midtjylland in Denmark today. We were talking about them. Their kit room's a Liverpool shrine. Just thought it was quite nice.
Did Harry decorate it?
Well, I was wondering if it could be anything to do with Harry, because it's their kit man, apparently. He's a big Liverpool fan, and he's just decorated all the walls. You wouldn't know what club you're in. You would honestly think it was part of Liverpool's museum or something, because it's just Liverpool shit everywhere.
And pictures of Kovacic.
Yeah, well, if there had been pictures of Kovacic, we didn't know it was Harry.
Right. Oh, shit. Oops. We'll bleep that. We'll bleep it. We almost forgot Benny Baller's joke of the week.
We tried to talk out over it and forget. Harry, who listens every week.
Hopefully Abid listens each week, because we're going to ask Abid to do the jingle.
Okay. Well, it's Harry's special needs, little brother.
No, you do it.
Why, Harry? Why do you want me to do it? You've never seen it, you bugger.
On three. 1, 2, 3. Benny Baller's joke of the week.
That's better than you, Trissy. You're out. You're not doing no more podcasts, mate.
We're just going to have to record that. We'll have to save that and just keep
reading. Boys. I haven't owned a watch.
That funny?
I haven't owned a watch for I don't know how long.
that
was brilliant. Shut up, that was brilliant.
Was that it?
Have you told the joke yet?
Oh, I'm just going to stop this.
Sorry, what?
I haven't owned a watch for I don't know how long.
What's the next bit?
It was just that bad.
That was brilliant.
What?
Right, you're not being invited back, Abid. You're now in the same boat as Harry.
Don't call us, we'll call you.
Yeah, that's it. don't call us, I'll call you and... Until someone laughs at my joke of the week, we will find someone.
And we'll never find anyone to do that.
Well, they'll laugh and they'll be invited back. But yeah.
Nobody can even pretend to laugh at your jokes, let's be honest.
That's right. We're calling it there.
Have you got any jokes?
Yeah, his whole career as a footballer. Oh! he's angry.
Oh. And I was just wondering how you got so excited over that one. Oh, bless you.
Anyway.
Comedy's just not big.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't agree, I'm afraid.
But yeah, at the end of the day, comedy is all about...
Yeah.
Timing.
You wouldn't know, Ben.
Timing. Oh. That was brilliant. Right, I'm ending it there.
No, that was quite good, actually. I like that. I actually got that one.
No, it's too late. You're not being invited back. Cheers for listening, everyone. Ta-ra. Bye-bye.